in association with Newsarama. Welcome again to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. Regular Word Balloon listeners know that Robert Kirkman recently started an open dialogue to creators. His mission statement was a call to arms for writers and artists to weigh the advantages of making creator-owned comics versus making corporate comics as work for hire at DC or Marvel. Creators have written blogs, message board threads, and have been interviewed on podcasts and websites giving their perspective. Marvel writer Brian Bendis made his views known in a still-to-be-released new edition of the Bendis Tapes. Well, we're not stupid. This is clearly the subject of the moment. In fact, if you haven't heard Kirkman's conversation, I urge you to go back a couple episodes and listen to his Word Balloon interview. But for now, we present this interesting conversation where Bendis discusses the points of Kirkman's view. The full Bendis Tapes will be presented in the days ahead. But for now, here's another great discussion in the world of comics from Word Balloon. Okay, and here we go, kids. It's time for the Megillah.
This is what you want to hear.
Exactly. Yeah. What are your thoughts on this Kirkman statement from a recent Word Balloon episode? Zorn points out these specific quotes.
Yes, one that you've highlighted.
When I went to Marvel, I thought I was on the Bendis plan. I had done creator-owned stuff, it had gotten popular, and I was looking at how parallel our careers were. But then I realized Bendis ain't going anywhere. There is no Bendis plan. I realized the books that I want to do at Marvel don't exist anymore.
That's my favorite part, by the way.
No, it really was funny to hear. I don't know if you actually heard the interview, but it was funny when he came to that realization. I realized the books that I want to do at Marvel don't exist anymore. I want to do a run like Peter David had on Hulk or Walt Simonson's Thor. I want to do an Amazing Spider-Man run that doesn't have to lead into the crossovers or the side books. And there is no one who has the cachet to say no to major company events. Straczynski had to participate in events, and it did help his book sell. But he couldn't say no to events. And instead of sitting around pouting about it, I left. And I'm not saying that Marvel sucks now. They're doing what they need to sell books.
Okay. I'm not looking to get into a feud or to turn this into a thing that people like to turn it into.
Okay.
But if I honestly respond to what Roberts, who I have obviously a lot of respect for, I wrote the introduction to Invincible. I was one of his... cheerleaders getting him into Marvel in the first place. I'm not responsible for him getting into Marvel, but his first job was on Disassembled, and they knew how I felt about his work and knew that that would be something I would be excited about. And they were very, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So I'm very involved, and Robert will cop to the fact that all through whatever, different variations as you, dive into the weirdness that is freelance work for hire companies, I've been there for Robert. Robert knows this. I've been a pal to him when he needed me to be a pal. I was there.
And he has said so, yes.
Yes, and he said so, and I'm not patting myself on the back or claiming anything other than the fact that just letting people know who may not know that I'm a fan of Robert's, and, we goof on each other in the letter columns and the message boards because we both have a similar sense of humor.
Absolutely.
And a lot of similarities in the things that we think about. But recently, maybe since his Image partnership, the statements that he's made publicly, including the one you just read here, I don't agree with anything that he said. I mean, to the point where the only word I can describe them is dopey. It sounds dopey to me, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
And I would say this if we were on a panel. I would say this on the phone. I obviously was offended by the... description of my Bendis plan, which does not exist. So he puts out a premise that I don't agree with, and then announces how it's a dumb plan he didn't say dumb plan, but
no, not at all.
It's a going nowhere plan, which is also ridiculous because obviously, not to be braggy, I'm doing all right for myself.
Well, he didn't say it that way, but I'm sorry. Please continue, and then I'll.
Well, more people read it than heard it.
Okay.
And the words that were chosen were those words.
Okay.
And those words that I read did bother me. On a personal level. Because I don't think they describe me in my career, and B, I don't think they were fair. I don't think they were fair. And I told them privately that, and Chuck Austin had done this once before too, where he was trying to prove a point and would use me or include me in his point, and I didn't agree with the point. And that's really my problem more than the personal thing.
I see.
I don't agree with the point. So please stop using my name to illustrate your point or to include me in your point. It's inappropriate. And what I think Robert will discuss, and here's the thing, is I'm really excited that Robert's excited. And I'm really excited that he's excited about Creator and Work. And I know that feeling, and I've lived with that feeling every day of my life since I discovered independent comics. And so with that said, these things that he said further down the line, of course it's great to be excited by creator-owned comics. It's almost like announcing you're anti-rape. Of course you should be anti-rape. I'm against global warming. Really? Congratulations. That's great. You want the planet to live. I'm proud of you. But then to not really have anything to follow up it with that makes any sense, that's when it gets a little dopey to me. And I think what he's going to discover, or maybe he won't, but I would say to him that the reason that he's seen some success in his creator-owned work is in part, not fully, but in part because of the audience that he's been able to garner from his Marvel work. Particularly if you look at the most successful thing that he did at Marvel was Marvel Zombies.
Sure.
And there's Walking Dead being his most successful title and breaking all the rules of what a black and white book should do and all of that. So it's not the whole reason that book is a success, because no book or no movie or anything has one reason it was a success. There's always... If something is successful, it's for multiple reasons. But one of the reasons it's successful is because of the Marvel work. And I'm going to stop talking about Robert directly and talk about myself.
Okay.
I know that the reason the Powers has been successful, and successful for a long time, and successful no matter how fucked up the schedule is, is because because of the audience that I had built up through my years in independent comics, but also because of the audience that I have generated from interest in my work at Marvel. They liked what I did on Daredevil and heard the Powers was good too, and then they went and bought it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and Alias and other things, and even Avengers, and even Secret Invasion. You know, every once in a while you get a Powers plug out there, and there's a new reader.
Sure.
So it's... And I'm going to say this over and over again because I can feel this being the misquote online as I continue. It's not the only reason Powers is successful. It's one of them.
Certainly.
But it is one that to ignore it would be dopey. I'm going to keep using that word.
No, I'm with you.
All right.
So when
he announces that all creators should come and do creator-owned work, I completely agree with that, that all creators should experience what that feels like to do creator-owned work. It is a very exciting, really amazing feeling. And for me personally, not for everybody, the two concepts, and I've talked about this on this podcast, doing both is very healthy for me. The excitement of doing whatever you want in Powers, plus the excitement of working on the greatest icons in the world and having the challenges that come with sharing characters and what have you, they feed each other. Not mm-hmm. only financially do they feed each other, but creatively they feed each other. There's two parts of my brain that are very close to each other, and it's very exciting for me. So I personally live by... Okay, I'm going to stop myself because I'm going to just tell people that I do understand that for whatever time period that this is or however long it will last, and particularly since the year 1999, I've been breathing very rarefied air. I'm very, very lucky. I have been able to have my cake and eat it too for close to a decade in this comic book business, followed by a decade of not having my cake or eating it. So I felt both things and know what they feel like. But I understand that I'm one of the very few people, along with Ed and Robert and a few other people, who can have their cake and eat it too, can do creator-owned work and do mainstream work and find some success either creatively or whatever in both fields. And I know that some people can't or aren't given the opportunity to, and some of it has to do with luck, and I understand that. But having experienced all the experiences I've had through comics and being a little older than Robert, I can look back and say, at this level of play, and that's the level of play that Robert's at and I'm at, that to ignore the fact that part of your audience came from your Marvel work is a mistake that I hope he doesn't discover the bad way, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
And I think that what's frustrating about the things that he said about people should just stop what they're doing to create their own work or is that most of the Image founders rely on creator, rely on work for hire to keep their books going. Almost all of the founders quickly turn to work for hire to keep their books afloat. So that dichotomy that he was ignoring in his mission statement was frustrating, along with the idea that he thinks that you can't have your cake and eat it too, when really I think it's the best. I think really that's the goal, particularly for genre writers like myself and Robert, and that's really what we are. The other thing that bothered me is that there are hundreds of creator-owned comic book creators that don't follow this plan that I'm saying was good for me. And
right.
I'm not saying that everyone should go out and do it. That's the difference between me and Robert. Robert wants everyone to do what he did. And I'm saying, no, you should follow your own muse. And you look at people like Adrian Tomine and Chris Ware, and just the list goes on, to these people who have absolutely no interest in doing superheroes or creator-owned work or really anything but their, you know, I wouldn't work for hire, but do anything for creator-owned work. It's an insult to them, to the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of creators that whose backs we are standing on and whose creator rights they got us, to ignore the fact that not this simplistic view of creator rights or versus working for Marvel DC, ignoring that aspect of it is a mistake, I think, and showed what worried me was I was worried that maybe he was maybe not aware of them or not aware of all that they had done for us. You know, particularly this generation of comic creator is standing on the shoulders of giants who worked very, very hard to make things very, very easy for us. And it was really just before I started making comics that things got a lot easier.
Yes.
For people, and even things at Marvel and DC got a lot better for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So
in the 80s, absolutely.
Yeah, it's important for people. And what's cool about the thing that was great about what Robert did is it certainly started a dialogue, and it's a dialogue that clearly I love because I haven't stopped talking or have taken a breath in 5 minutes. But it's important that it be an educated conversation. It's important that it's a conversation that's not just a blank stare called the arms, but one that makes people really look into, well, what do I want? Do you know?
Sure.
The other thing that bothered me about Robert said is Robert was I'm excited that he's happy that his books are doing well, and I'm excited that he sees the possibility that can happen. But the truth of the matter is that Robert too is breathing rarefied air, and the fact that it seemed that he may not know that or doesn't want to reference that aspect of it, it's disturbing in his sales pitch, because the truth of the matter is, and this includes me, is that, you know, most Image comics don't sell what Robert's comics sell, even by name creators.
I agree.
You know, and the ones that do sell, and I hate to talk about other people's numbers, but like Mark Miller or Warren
sure.
Ellis, but, you know, some
sure.
of the stuff's public. But, you know, the ones that do sell over 6,000 or 4,000, which is basically what most Image comics sell, are guys that have that audience that they've built up from other areas of the comic book field. You know, Warren Ellis is the writer of X-Men, and Mark Miller is the writer of Civil War, and that is why those books sell more than other things. And again, I don't want to be having generalization, but, you know, you got to look at the reality of it. And really, you got to hope for the worst when you're embarking on a creator-owned endeavor. And to think that you're going to sell what Walking Dead sells, or even what Invincible sells, is a mistake. And that would be a mistake going back to the early 90s when we were at Caliber.
Sure.
Because the book, the numbers we did at Caliber, the numbers that Image does on most of their books, are very, very similar. And again, I'm not bashing Image. I'm just being frank with the with how it is. And again, I'm not saying people shouldn't go to Image, and I love my time at Image. And I'm just saying that even myself, when I was working on Torso, Torso sold 2,200 copies, and I made just enough money to make another one. Now, what was great about Image is that I could make another one. That, you know, I had a very healthy, happy home there.
Yes.
But I was not going to get rich there.
But as you said, it was because of your Marvel work that people have since reached back to those works.
Yeah,
and have kept them in print.
And I'm relieved beyond comprehension. So my difference, if I was discussing this with Robert, would be to say, to tell people, oh, you can make a great living and blah, blah, blah. No, you can't. It's like saying, like, if you get a record deal, you'll be rich.
No, I understand.
You won't.
I understand.
It's a lottery ticket, and hopefully you'll cash out. But you should really be making the comics, particularly Creator Owned Comics, because you have to. Because you don't care if you get
it. It's in you. You need to get it out. I understand.
The entire time I was working at Image Comics, I was also doing freelance illustration for American Greetings and drawing caricatures about mitzvahs on the weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm the artist and writer that I've turned into because of that struggle and all that. Even though, you know, it's hardly a struggle. It's like I was throwing fish across the room. But, it was, you know.
I know what you mean.
It was a lot of work for... What, you know, you never know if there's an end to it. You know what I mean?
I went 10 years. Yeah.
My wife married me. There's no end in sight, you know?
Yeah.
So I think what I'm saying here is I'm describing what I think is more realistic view of how things really are in the creator own comics world, and that I certainly hope, and I'm really looking forward to, the next batch of Image Comics that come out, whether they're from named people or from people up and coming. But I think what I would tell Robert not to do is to paint such a rosy one-sided picture of one or the other. I also obviously completely disagree with the theory that Marvel and DC should only be doing youth-oriented material and Image should be left to doing the adult material.
Okay.
That seems odd to me as well. I obviously don't agree with that. I don't think any... It seemed odd that someone is telling another company what... He's actually telling Marvel to tell their creators to limit their talents and abilities and creativity towards some market. Particularly when I think we're all aware that there are kids reading comics. It isn't as many kids as when we were reading comics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There are kids reading comics, and there are teenagers reading comics, and we see them at the shows, and we know that they're there. And every time a movie does hit, we do get a couple more. Do we get to keep them? I don't know if we get to keep them. You know, even the kids that read comics when we were reading kids didn't. They didn't all stay.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't all stay, but it's not like everyone isn't trying to do this thing.
No, I understand. And I feel partly responsible for your reaction because you relied on the quote and didn't listen to my interview with him. Because I think that 9 minutes of video didn't...
No, I listened to it. You know,
okay. Because honestly, he agrees with a lot of what you said. And I think he was more saying what you just said in terms of make your name at Marvel and DC. And then by all means, you know, start coming up with creator-owned books. And also... You are completely right, and I'm the first one who said your success, Robert, has kind of been like a lottery. You've hit on some commercial ideas. And I think he acknowledged that, you know, because he was saying, do what I did, get at Marvel and DC, let more people know about who you are, but don't stay there, and doing more like, you know, Frank Miller, Mike Mignola, Warren, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, yourself, but as opposed to keeping a foot in Marvel and DC... To, you know, obviously
but
just put your eggs in your creator-owned basket.
He did two things that bothered me in his,
no problem.
In relation to me. Number one was using me as this example of what he thinks is a nowhere road.
Oh, but I didn't take the Bendis plan as that, honestly, Brian. It wasn't a nowhere road. It was more because
let's read the quote.
Well, yeah, but you see, I wrote the quote, and that's why I feel responsible for that. And it was no, and there's ellipsis there because it was Robert struggling to kind of come to words. And I'm telling you, if you had heard him, it was a lot of repeating. It was more of what you said in terms of use your celebrity from Marvel and DC to then take that next Frank Miller, Mike Mignola step and get people excited about finding you. And then the only way that they're going to get your work is through your creator-owned stuff. And, you know, you were obviously my first example of, well, then how do you explain Bendis, who clearly threw, I mean, Ultimate Spider-Man was the first thing of yours I read, and then I reached back and started buying the Jinx books.
Right.
I mean, and a lot of people obviously did, and Powers, and a lot of people probably did that. And he said, sure, but what his fear is, and again, I'll say this because I did the interview, he's like, if you're putting out a book about Iron Man and you're doing a creator-owned book at the same time, more people are going to go to your Iron Man book because, you know, it's just an easy reflex. People know the character.
Yeah, I look at it the opposite.
Of course
I
you do.
That Iron Man book is a commercial for you as an artist or writer.
Absolutely.
So well,
he also did say throughout, I could be wrong. This is just my feeling. And honestly, honestly, man, I feel like I kind of know both of you not well, but at least I've spoken to both of you.
No, we've had
conversation,
sure.
Well, yeah, and honestly, I just kind of feel like, you know, I don't want there to be a misunderstanding for either of you guys in terms of,
I'm not mad at him. I'm just talking about two things that I wouldn't have done.
Because
there's been, ever since he came on, he has been kind of on one side of his mouth, kind of trashing Marvel and DC and his attempt to make the Image look better. And it is
absolutely, and that's a marketing. I mean, that's definitely.
No, I know, and I've said on my website, that's not a marketing tool that I particularly care for.
I understand.
And listen, Eric Larson does it as well. And,
sure.
And again, I know it sounds like I'm trashing on them now, but I'm not trying to. I'm not doing it in the sense of I'm trying to sell you something. I'm just expressing an idea that I don't particularly care for it when other people do it. And I've seen a lot of people comics do it because they're frustrated or don't know how else to say, you know?
I agree.
So I know they're excited, and I know they really want people to buy the things they're producing more than they want people to buy what we're producing. I totally get that. But I think the best way to do that is to tell you what's great about you. It's like when a guy comes up to a girl, he's trying to get the girl's attention, and instead of being cool or expressing what's cool about him, he's trashing her boyfriend. You know?
Yes.
It's not the way. I don't think it ever works, quite frankly. You know? If anything, it turns people off. And no. Another thing too is I'm not talking about Robert in particular, but okay, let's Civil War. Like when Civil War is out, there would be a lot of this. I wish people were buying this instead of Civil War, or the person saying Civil War sucks. My book's awesome.
Right, right.
Well, meanwhile, everyone in comics is buying Civil War, and a great many of them enjoy the shit out of it.
Sure.
So if you're announcing to the world that you think Civil War sucks and you should buy, and yours is better or something else, they're going to go, well, I like Civil War, so I'm probably not going to like his thing. You're probably cutting more people off than you even know.
Okay.
So that's all I'm saying.
No, I understand.
There's been a lot of that going on, and then it's snowballing. When I brought it up to Robert privately, he was like, hey, you're the number one. You're the dog. And I was like, no. It doesn't mean I have to take it.
Oh, sure. No,
yeah,
that's,
not at
no
all.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no. That's bullshit.
That is bullshit, and you've got absolutely, man. No,
yeah.
And use the blower, and I want your opinion. And honestly, you even said it yourself. This opens a dialogue, and I'm happy that this dialogue is happening.
Because
I think it's an interesting.
Where Robert's heart's at is fantastic.
Okay.
But the things he's saying and what he's describing, and even what he's describing about Straczynski in this quote, and about these, you know, marvelous runs of Walt Simonson and Peter David being, you know, everything looks like, you know, daffodils and roses.
Back then.
Back then versus whatever now. That's incorrect as well. I found it very simplistic and incorrect, and to guess that Straczynski wanted, was forced into some kind of crossover is completely incorrect, and not remembering that Walt Simonson's Thor issues had a Secret Wars 2 tie-in.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I'm saying, it's easy to make everything look like roses and blowjobs back in the day, but it's incorrect. It's just flat-out incorrect.
Okay.
So that's the facts he was using were bothersome to me. So I know we're talking at length about this, but it did seem what people wanted to hear.
That's the hit of the week, absolutely.
As a Howard Stern fan, when we're waiting all week because we know that Artie's in rehab and they gloss over it in 10 minutes.
Oh, Jesus.
We get frustrated. That I thought, okay, I'll talk about it endlessly to the point of annoyance, and then we can move on. But it's a very complicated subject, and I know it sounds maybe that I'm annoyed at Robert, and I really am not annoyed at Robert, other than the using of my name, which you've described as not what I thought it was. But
okay.
I'm a little sensitive, little Jewish gay man, and I'm gonna whine.
No, but you know, it's exactly the thing of quotes versus actually hearing an interview, which is always my fear.
Yeah.
And I will bring the entire Bendis board and my listeners.
You love it.
I do. No, no. You know, yeah, but you know, hey, you know, I'm not Rona Barrett. And I love Rich Johnson, so I'm not going to say I'm not Rich Johnson because I like Rich, and I don't mean it. I don't want to misconstrue anything. But no, honestly, I'm just looking for good conversation. I'm never into like screwing up anybody's marketing schemes or anything like that. I don't need the get or the shitty, you know, the nasty story. There's enough good things happening in comics, and I want people to talk about them. But I think this is an interesting discussion.
No, it is an interesting, you know, and we're at an interesting time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Brian.
Maybe, and I would be thrilled if maybe a dam was breaking where some creator, because even when it happens, it's just funny too that every once in a while the dam breaks and some creator-owned books really take hold.
Yes.
Commercially.
Yes.
And we may be on the cusp of something like that. And of course, we don't know which books it will be or will not be. But people always people remember as more than what it actually was. And it happens in film too, where a couple of films really break out. And people are like, wow, people really like independent film instead of studio movies. But really, it's just like 10% more. It's not every, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And
things will calm down again. No, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm hoping, that's the only thing that I really get worried about is the marketplace being what it is, where people aren't allowed to fall on their ass a few times like I was, and Oming
sure.
Ed Brubaker. I mean, really, we're allowed to like swim around and find ourselves for a couple of years being published.
Absolutely.
You know? I worry that the market doesn't allow it as much, and I get fearful that people, you know what I mean. But then,
sure.
And again, we didn't, you know, not to date myself dramatically, we didn't have the internet. So
no, you're right, but. Let's focus on that generation before Image and before the internet too, because I think there are a lot of creators from the 70s and 80s that didn't, you know, that did only toil at the big two, and
right.
maybe missed their opportunity while they were hot to capitalize on their storytelling ability to come up with their own ideas. Maybe they didn't have them, and that's something that Kirkman obviously said too.
So that brings up a point that I was going to say earlier. A friend of mine and a friend of Robert, so I will not name here because he probably doesn't want to be named,
okay,
said that, you know, Robert's call to arms is falling on deaf ears in the sense that does he really think that there's anybody working in mainstream comics who is unaware that they have the ability to create creator-owned comics if they so choose to? Of course they do. Of course they do. And again, that's went back to the dopey thing. Of course, yeah, it's ridiculous. Of course they do. Whether they have, listen, being a publisher is a whole different set of muscles. And I am a publisher. It is a completely different set of tools and muscles. And some people just don't have it in them. They just want to sit and draw their comics, man. And they just don't want to run a business, no matter what. And it includes some of the Image partners who, when it got to be, you know what I mean? When they I just want to draw my book. And some of them ended up not wanting to draw and just wanted to run their business.
That's true.
So again, I'm trying not to generalize. I'm trying to show that there's examples of all of these things.
Certainly.
That, and all you can really do is kind of put your foot out there and see what makes you happy. And well, you know, when Mark started doing Malar World, for years prior to, I was needling him privately. You got to do creator own work. You got to do creator own work. Not in sacrifice of his mainstream work. I just knew that he was missing part of the experience of comic book creating that would really excite the shit out of him. And
sure.
when it did excite the shit out of him, he went shot out of a cannon and was going crazy on the internet. But it was funny because he was like when you first orgasm, you're like, wow, I can't wait to tell people about this. We have to tell people. This is an amazing feeling. Like, well, everyone else has had that feeling. I'm glad
yes.
you now discovered it. But it's cute. You know what I mean? It's funny. And I feel a little bit of this is what Robert's going through, too. He's got this resurgence of enthusiasm.
Well, and also being 29. And I mean, honestly, I feel.
By the way, he's not 29.
Okay.
Yeah, he's 29, and Brian K. Vaughan's 24. And
excellent.
Good. I'm 70.
I was going to say, so I'm 38? That's fantastic.
Yeah, they've all been okay. making comics since I was in college, but yeah, all of a sudden.
Well, no, because honestly, I'm sure you felt this. I think every person that is beyond that point in their life remembers at 29, where am I at the world? Where am I in the industry that I'm
Absolutely.
In? Am I making the right decisions for
Absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely.
And that is not condescending to Robert, and I don't mean for it to sound like that. But that's what I mean. I really do believe that when you are at that age, you do ask that question, and, you know, that's fine. Hey, he decided to do it, you know, with a megaphone, and he chose mine, and I appreciate it.
Absolutely. A megaphone and also with the green screen
oh,
and
yeah.
banjo music.
That was not. No, those were. By the way, that was Jonah's choice. I know that for a fact. Because
okay, but I. Listen, if I did not have my family and tons of shit to do, I swear to God, I would have made my own viral video with the green screen
and the
Papa Nagila in the background, and the Jewish version of the Robert. I just didn't have time.
I don't know
do
if
it,
your head would have come off as pointy and giant as his.
Oh,
does.
I could have done the whole thing. But and also Robert. If Marvel and DC are not getting on a boat with you to discuss the future of comics.
I shouldn't plan the cruise?
What, are you out of your mind?
I was all ready for the Word Balloon cruise and invite everybody up.
McDonald's and Burger King are getting on a boat together to see how to save the burgers? No, they don't want to kill each other. And I'm not speaking for Marvel. I'm not, you know what I mean?
I know I'm teasing
Marvel
employee, you, of
I'm
course.
Not, I'm not speaking for Marvel. What, are you out of your mind?
Come on, like a cruise?
Let's all get on a boat.
That was my favorite part. He's like,
was, I did enjoy it too, but I.
No, and he even admits, he's like, I'm just angling for a cruise. That's all I'm trying to tell.
That's great. Make a cruise. Make a Walking Dead cruise. Get all you guys dressed as zombies and go on a cruise.
But no, honestly, it certainly has reverberated around the podcast world, and I'm sure on a bunch of blogs
Absolutely.
And message boards.
Absolutely. It's been pointed out to me that the thread on my board is one of the most vivacious ones on the subject.
It got interesting.
And filled with people of immense talent who are arguing the points and trying to decipher the text of the Kirkman and like Talmudic rabbis, which I appreciate. and all of them very worthy creators whose passion has a home, like, you know what I mean? The
yeah.
fire in them is very exciting. So on that level, Robert can do this all he wants. You know, but I just felt that there were some inconsistencies and what I thought were inaccuracies to what he was saying that I thought were worth discussing. And again, I don't want to mix them up with my feelings on what I perceive to be a couple of pot shots here and there.
Okay.
Because I'm the dog or whatever the fuck.
No, well, you know, yeah. Well, yeah, you're the top dog. No, you know something? There was Sam Smith wrote a book in the 90s about the Bulls called The Jordan Rules. And I think I can see other potentially creators seeing that maybe, you know, again, when you are in charge of, or at least the perception of, that you are in charge of an event, and I'm speaking now as a devil's advocate, mm-hmm. that you are getting... You know, stories, again, commercial stories that the company likes, but that, yeah, that maybe, you know, your books didn't have to participate in World War Hulk. because they were busy doing their...
The Avengers were a big part of it, and I bowed out of that one.
Absolutely.
No one forced me. No one said, here's how it is. I bowed out, A, because I thought at the time, you didn't need my name on every fucking thing. And you didn't need it. But that was just an example. I know I'm breathing rarefied air. I do know
I know you do.
I know that other people have different examples or feel different pressures from editors or whatnot have you. But all I can do is the reason I think I've been able to last longer than some where I am is because I've never varied from treating people the way I want to be treated. No matter how, you know, dickish or where that weirdness comes at me,
I
try not to change my tune. So I think if everyone kind of did that, I think there's the saving of the industry that Robert is looking for. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
I think you just need people writing books they would buy. I think anything needs to be done other than people writing books they would buy, drawing books they would buy, making books they would want to buy, telling stories they have to tell because they don't tell them they're going to go fucking insane, whether it be a zombie story or a superhero story or what have you, you know?
Sure.
And then getting them out there and in whatever form, digital or print, that they think best suits them and their muses and you know, and stump that beat. And if everyone did that honestly, I think that's the industry he's looking for. And not this other utopian thing that can't possibly sustain itself.
That's Brian Michael Bendis with some of his thoughts on the Robert Kirkman statement. And don't forget, the Bendis tapes is coming up in the days ahead of Word Balloon. Before we wrap up, on the subject of transcribing quotes from these interviews, it's something that's come up at Newsarama and some of the other websites. I've received email regarding this. I just wanted to say the intended value of doing the Word Balloon podcast was to provide the actual voices of creators being interviewed. Beyond learning that Dan DiDio sounds like he's selling Carvel ice cream or Matt Fraction can do a great Orson Welles imitation, for once, creators' words would not be misconstrued. At Word Balloon, you can hear the smile on a creator's face when he's messing with another guy or girl, or hear their frustration when they're talking about a failed project. You get a sense of who they are and exactly what they're saying. To rely on written quotes from this podcast, you lose the opportunity that you get hearing the words expressed. There's less ambiguity, and I hope more enjoyment for the interviews. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're listening to this, but do me a favor. Tell a friend who always says, I don't have time to listen to Word Balloon, then that means that they're not getting the whole story and how much they're really missing out on the full discussion. That'll do it for this edition of Word Balloon. This is John Suntress. Don't forget, you can find us all over the Internet. Of course, we're at Newsarama.com, our own website, www.wordballoon.com, and at iTunes, at Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle. If you have any reviews you'd like to give the show, we're always happy to hear from you, whether it's positive or negative. So if there's places to vote for your favorite podcast, we'll take one. Thank you. And we'll also take your questions and comments. Take them directly, in fact, via email, john@wordballoon.com. Thanks again for listening. So many more creators coming up, not only this month, but in the weeks ahead as we head into the fall.
Yes.
September already. Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions. Copyright 2008.